Hello.
What's up, Chicago?
Are you Kate?
I'm Erin Allen.
I'm Erin. Nice to meet you.
And this is Curious City. Right now, I'm way out west. Well, like 30 miles west of Chicago, that is.
Welcome to Batavia.
Thank you.
I'm at the Batavia Depot Museum with director Kate Garrett.
We could introduce you to the windmills exhibit
downstairs. Yes, please. And the reason I'm here is because our last episode was all about wind turbines and if Chicago is ever going to get any. In answering that question, we learned that Batavia, the suburb, used to be the windmill capital of the world.
We have a lot of heritage with windmills specifically. Hi, Mayor Schalke. How you doing?
Joining us to explain both why and why used to be is the mayor of Batavia.
Well, my name is Jeff Schalke. I'm the sixth generation of my family to live in Batavia, and I have now been the mayor for 12 terms.
45 years.
Yeah, we're in our 45th year. We got three more years to go on the current term.
Wow.
Is that enough about me, I would hope?
The mayor is dressed up nice to see us, but not specifically for me.
Well, no, I have to go cut a ribbon for we're getting a Tesla dealership in town, and that's at 11:30.
Yes, these days, Batavia is not known for windmills. Instead, it's known for Fermilab, the particle physics accelerator, or maybe as the North American headquarters of Aldi.
Ken Anderson, who was the starting quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl of 82.
I came here to talk about the heyday of windmills, but the mayor, he wanted to shout out all of Batavia's famous athletes.
One was Dan Issel, who's now in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
It's amazing that you have all this information in your I cannot remember two of those
well,
names.
I co-authored a history book, but we don't have it. Where's it?
I'm sold out. It's a hot item.
You sold out of the history book.
Sold out of the Batavia history book.
Really?
I did so far. We'll have to do another round.
But who needs a history book when your source is the history-loving mayor himself? And Kate, the museum director, is also the city clerk. Don't you just love small towns? So how did this small town of 26,000 people once get and lose the title of Windmill Capital of the World? And do they want it back?
Well, what I need to first tell you is why Batavia got kind of selected as site. We had three major windmill factories, the U.S., the Appleton, and the Challenge.
For decades, Batavia was the place for windmills for several reasons. But the story really starts with two inventors from the East Coast, Daniel Halliday and John Burnham. Before these two, the most common windmill was the Dutch style. You can probably picture it. A massive, sometimes stone structure that kind of looks like a wine cork with four big arms to catch the wind.
The big Dutch-style windmills generate a lot of horsepower, but they also require a skilled miller to be able to run them.
John Burnham had a family pump company in Vermont.
And had this brilliant idea that like, hey, what if we could harness the power of the wind to do the job of pumping water for us?
Burnham needed somebody with real technical know-how to make this idea a reality. And that's where Daniel Halliday comes in.
So he puts together a self-regulating windmill that will not need so much effort from the operator.
Halliday's smaller windmill was revolutionary, like figuratively and literally. The windmill turned to face the wind in whatever direction it was blowing. And it also self-regulated its speed, so it wouldn't destroy itself when things got extra breezy.
And that means that you can kind of stick them out in these really remote locations. It makes ranching in arid regions possible. It makes the railroad a much straighter path to where they want to go because those steam engines require water.
This invention was especially big for farmers, who would be able to automate the backbreaking work of pumping water they needed for crops and livestock. Halliday patented his design in 1854, and then he and Burnham got the heck out of New England. But why Batavia?
You put yourself closer to the buyer in Batavia. We were right on the edge of the American frontier, which is where all the demand was going to be for these windmills, for all the farms and ranches and all the stuff there.
Chicago, nearby, was growing fast. It was the crossroads of America. And Batavia started becoming a hub for windmill factories in the late 1800s for two big reasons. The first was geography.
Batavia really only exists here because of this confluence of natural resources. The water power in the river is the thing that draws people here.
Batavia had the Fox River. It had fertile farmland and a forest full of timber. And it had the Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy Railroad. Mayor Schulke says Batavia also had a demographic advantage. Diverse communities of people who wanted to work, including African Americans, Germans, and the Irish.
They all wanted a job, and they were all looking for something to pick up or haul or drive or whatever they were going to do. So there's a lot of interesting reasons why it all came together, but those were the main ones.
And there's one other reason. Random chance.
It could have been someplace else. We talk about that a lot when we talk about history. Is the reason it is the way it is today is because somebody once upon a time decided they wanted to build a house here and not a mile south. And because of that, it springs out a whole line of decisions that are all predicated on that one specific choice. So Aurora has different industries, but a similar story. Elgin has the watch factory. Aurora has the stove works. So there are a lot of stories like this all along the river.
At one point, Batavia was home to six windmill companies.
There's three real big ones.
Three real big ones. Okay. And the other ones were kind of spinoffs where somebody that worked for one of them got mad and he decided he was going to go out and make up his own company.
Batavia was shipping out this type of self-regulating windmill to locations near and far.
They're very popular in countries that don't have a lot of innate infrastructure already built up at the time this innovation comes out. So they're very popular in Canada. They're very popular in Mexico. Today, they're all over the place in Africa. We see a lot of African countries are utilizing those to shore up, you know, a power grid that's not necessarily what we're looking at over here. Australia is the same way. So places where you have remote working operations that are not connected to a larger power grid or sewer system or things like that.
But what goes up must come down.
At the end of, when would you say World War II was kind of the end?
1940s.
1940s was the end of the windmill business in Batavia because the demand for the windmill kind of dropped off because we electrified America.
In 1935, FDR pushed to bring the electric grid throughout rural America. That was not good for Batavia's windmill factories.
There's also a shift in the need for what those factories are doing in the 1940s. A lot of them get repurposed to do munitions. Yeah. They build shell casings and they build truck parts and they build tent stakes and all kinds of things that are needed for the military. And then after the conclusion of World War II, there's a gap in what those factories are used for because that long tradition of use has been interrupted and it's difficult then at that point to come back. So Batavia really has to work to reinvent itself.
Batavia did that by attracting Fermilab in the 1960s and Aldi in the 1980s, to name just a couple. And I guess I should also add Tesla to the 2020s, right? But what about the new age wind turbine boom of the last couple decades? Did Batavia want to get back on the map in the world of wind?
There's definitely interest. But as far as Batavia's role in wind energy as a manufacturing center, I think there's a pretty vast break between what we see at the height of like the 1880s and then sort of the decline in the 1940s and where we're at today. But boy, howdy, if somebody wants to come build a windmill factory, I don't think Mayor Schulke would be sad about that at all.
No, but it's not going to happen.
Like, let's be real. Fair enough.
How does this windmill history come up now, these days? I mean, do the young people think about it? Does it happen, you know, we learn about it in school? Or what is the kind of presence in the current lexicon?
It's one of those things that historical topics go in trends and fads, right? So we'll get really excited about something for a little while, and then there'll be a ton of research and programming around it, and then people get a little bit bored of it and want something new. I am anticipating that we'll see folks continue to be interested in that windmill heritage. And I just love talking about how this small town on the edge of the western suburbs winds up being a very small but important component of national movements. And I think every town has a story like that, right? This one is a great one for Batavia, but everybody has a thing like that that they're proud of.
So yes, Batavia was once the windmill capital of the world, but it has other stuff to hang its hat on now. It seems like they're celebrating the past, but not living in it. Jeff Schelke has been the mayor of Batavia for 45 years, and Kate Garrett is the Batavia Depot Museum director and the city clerk. Thanks to both of them for their time. This episode of Curious City was produced by me and Justin Bull. Susie Ahn is our editor. Curious City is a production of WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you have questions about Chicago and the region, send them our way at curiouscity@wbez.org, or you can visit us at wbez.org/curiouscity. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next week.